8.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255, and I'd love to connect with you online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today I want to talk about creativity, how important it is of a skill for your child. Children need to be creative if they're going to thrive and reach their maximum potential in this hyper-competitive world out there. And so what can you do as a parent to ensure that they have this in their arsenal? Now, the number one TED Talk of all time is titled, Do Schools Kill Creativity? Now, there have been hundreds and hundreds of famous people getting on stage at these TEDx events, and over the years, none of them have been able to touch this one speech by Sir Ken Robinson titled, Do Schools Kill Creativity? And the reason is because it resonates, and it has two factors or variables in that equation. It's what I'm talking about today, creativity and schools. And it's pretty clear that art and music are not priorities in school. Children get math 5 days a week. They get English and science and history 5 days a week. They might get art or music once a week. That's just might. So 5-to-1 is a pretty significant ratio. Nevertheless, there are things that you can do outside of the school system, whether your kids are in school or whether they're homeschooled, to cultivate creativity. And that's what this show is going to be about. But first, I want to give the big picture because, you know, creativity is not just the application of paint to canvas. Creativity is not just, you know, writing a song or playing the guitar, and it's not just maybe writing a short story or a poem. Creativity has many, many layers to it and many facets that basically make it that important. And the one I want to talk about first is that, you know, creativity or a creative mind is capable of solving problems. And if you think about your life, whether it's today, when you were 18, when you were 30, or even into the future, your day, your week, your year is almost, in a nutshell, nothing but a series of problems that you have to cope with and solve. And they don't teach us how to deal with these issues in school. I mean, they can't. And we have to learn through experience, through resourcefulness, through trial and error, through dint of our own hard work. And creativity is the component that's going to give us solutions. There's so many people out there that believe that they're stuck, that they have no options. It's the creative people who figure out how to get around these obstacles. And, you know, it's a skill that's going to serve them in life. Because when you can get through obstacles in life, that's, you know, only when you can get through these obstacles, when you can reach higher plateaus of, you know, prosperity and happiness and have, you know, better relationships, whether you're trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, heal your broken back, as I spent many years trying to do, or how to save more money or make more money, or how to communicate with your spouse or develop, improve your social network, whatever it is, there are creative solutions. And that's why, you know, it's within our own interests, our best interests and our kids' interests to have this skill. And of course, you have to start with the assumption that everyone has creative potential. And I believe this deep in my bone. I believe that children have infinite potential, all children. Who knows in what arena or in what sphere, But within that, I also believe everyone has creative potential. And if you look across any human culture throughout history, humans have always painted and sculpted and always sang and always danced. It's really within our nature to express this inner artist. But where is this inner artist? And why do so many people consider themselves not creative? Well, it comes back to what I was talking about earlier. In his famous speech, Ken Robinson talks about how he goes around from school to school and he asks all the kindergartners, you know, who here is an artist? And every hand goes up. And then he asks the third graders who here is an artist, and the ratio or the percentage of kids who consider themselves artistic and creative, you know, it drops precipitously down to maybe, you know, 50%. By the time they get to, you know, 6th and 8th and 9th grade, only a tiny fraction, less than 10%, maybe 5% of children believe that they have artistic and creative capacity. It's really this school process, not to turn this show all onto school, but it is the school process that is the genesis of our, let's just say, lack of self-confidence in creativity. Throughout my whole life, I did not think I was creativity, and it was only recently, in my 30s, that, you know, I discovered, and it's amazing when you discover something within yourself, because it's always been there. I discovered that I had, you know, wildly creative potential in many areas, and I started to unlock it maybe about 10 years ago. And so I it's not just a theory for me. This is real for me. Now, and if your children develop this creative mindset, not only are they going to be able to solve problems, but as I mentioned at the beginning, they are going to have an outlet for this inner artist. They're going to have an outlet for, you know, their ideas, for their imagination, for their dreams. And it's within these dreams, it's putting our dreams into our work. This is where we gain self-mastery. This is where we really gain in self-confidence. And I want to revisit that word again, self-mastery, because so much of what we have to do in life requires self-confidence and a belief that we can get things done, that we can solve problems, that we are capable of, you know, doing new things. And if we can see this power inside ourselves, you know, we're going to be resourceful, we're going to be energized, we're going to be a lot more interesting, not just to ourselves, but to other people. And, you know, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're going to be an accountant or a lawyer or something where you think creativity is not mandatory or is not going to behoove you, because you're going to come up against a problem in your business, or you're going to come up against competition who's more creative than you, and you're going to have to adapt whether you like it or not. Like they say in the business world these days, innovate or die. And coming back to school for a second, you know, school is basically a 1950s model that, you know, you'd be nuts to use a 1950s model for anything today, whether it was nutrition, whether it was exercise, whether it was business, and certainly education. But that's one of the problems. We have a much more dynamic, much more hyper-competitive world today, and it demands creativity, it demands adaptability and flexibility more than ever. I mean, you're going to have at least 7, maybe 10, 11 jobs, that's when I say you, I mean you and I, before we retire. Our kids, they might be having multiple careers and multiple fronts, and they're going to have to do their best to keep up with this rapid technological change. And you don't want to be that guy stuck in the 50s or the 80s who, you know, all they did was, you know, let's just say play football, and they never, ever did anything else. Or all they did was, you know, play chess or do their schoolwork or listen to, you know, MTV, whatever it is. You want your children to be, you know, incredibly well-rounded. And I think that, and I'll talk more about this in the next segment, But being well-rounded is super key to fostering creativity, because creativity, you know, it's not rocket science. It's really just pulling something from here and something from there and combining them. And that is the essence of creativity. And there are a lot of conditions that need to be, let's just say, cultivated for it to happen. And like I said, I'm going to talk about it in the next segment when I come back. But your kids are going to need free time more than anything. And school is not a font of free time. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online on the www.homeschooldad.com. Today I'm talking about the importance of cultivating creativity in our children. I think it's pretty clear that school not only doesn't cultivate creativity, that it stifles it. And so that leaves it back to us, the parents, to get the job done, because we don't want our kids to be disadvantaged out there in the workforce. We don't want them to look at obstacles and say, hey, you know what, I can't do it. And, you know, I actually see this all the time with some of my advanced math students. You know, I give them a question, and it's this one word that they always just stop on. It's a question about consecutive integers. And the kids say, I didn't know what consecutive meant. I couldn't do the question, you know. What, you couldn't ask somebody? You couldn't look it up? This is a scary mindset when we have children and even grown adults who, when they hit a little bit of resistance, a little bit of friction, they just throw their hands up. And that's a shame. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons for it. All of them, you know, are rooted in school. And I read this great quote in a book recently. And it was this old grandmother, and she was lamenting. She said, you know, we get all up in arms if a kid can't do math or calculus. But if a kid can't do art, nobody cares. And, you know, she's absolutely right. You know, that it's a 5-to-1 ratio at best. In schools, not until kids get into maybe a specialized middle school or high school will they have, you know, concentrated time on art, maybe. You know, creativity is a muscle. It needs to be exercised. It needs to be flexible. And if we can just get our kids, you know, to continue on using their innate curiosity, their innate creativity, then we won't have to rehabilitate them. Have you seen the greatest craze right now on Amazon? Is these adult coloring books. Something like 30% of the top selling books on Amazon, which is a proxy for, you know, the whole book market, are these adult coloring books. I kid you not. You have to check it out to believe it if you haven't seen it already. They're these fancy kaleidoscopic designs, and adults, you know, are going through them with colored pencils, and, you know, it's just all the rave. In fact, I just ordered one today for myself because I want a little bit more knowledge about this. I've read about it, but I want to experience it myself. And they're supposed to have all these therapeutic and de-stressing attributes associated with sitting down as an adult and doing coloring books. Of course, it's going to be less stressful than, you know, watching TV, flipping through Twitter, and getting, 50, 60 text messages a day. It's going to be a reaction to all that overstimulation, clearly. But again, why do we need to rehabilitate the creative muscles in adults? Why did I have to discover my own creativity when I was 30? Let's give our kids, let's give them, more and better than we had. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. And how can I help you today?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So I wanted to call in. I was listening earlier. You were talking about the story with the woman and how kids aren't encouraged to do art, but all people care about is math and science, all that stuff.
Right.
I wanted to kind of bring in the idea of there being different intelligences and how some people are more creatively intelligent, some people are more mathematically or scientifically intelligent. I wanted to know what's your take on that? Do you think that that kids are being conditioned to be more mathematically and book smart intelligent per se, or do you think that it's more of people are born more art intelligent and then they're taken out of it because it's not as important in our society?
Right. So are people born artists? I do think that all people have a creative capacity in them. And I think that all the capacities we have, school, formal education, coercion, that suffocates it. And children need freedom. They need encouragement. And I wouldn't say they need less time on math. I mean, because this is getting to a complicated question. I believe that all these subjects are important. I just think that school is so inefficient that they have to make some hard choices.
What do you mean inefficient, though?
Well, if you go to school, you spend, most kids spend roughly, an hour getting ready for school, getting to school, an hour getting home from school, recovering from all the running around. Kids lose 2 hours a day just educating themselves outside the house. They lose a lot of time because there's 30 kids in the class and not five or six or two. So it's inefficient in the sense that, it takes kids longer to learn math with large classes and outside the house than it would if they were on, more efficient or better ratios of instruction. Go ahead.
I don't think it's about I agree with you on the efficiency part. I mean, I think you can still be efficient in school. I mean, me personally, I went to public school my whole life. My sister, she went to private school, and her private school hours were cut a lot shorter because they just got things done faster. They were more efficient in the way that they taught lessons. And in the end, I'm definitely the more creative sister, and she's more analytical and scientific. Not sure why that is. Could just be a difference in age and how we were raised, but I definitely agree with you that schools, need to be more efficient in how they teach their students.
And if they are more efficient, all of a sudden people have free time, right? And when they have free time, then, I have many students who just don't have time to practice the piano. And they don't have time, they'll have one extracurricular activity, and that's it. Because it's between that and homework, everything, all the free time is suffocated, and they might not discover an instrument. They might not discover that they like to sew or cook or whatever it is. And so I think it's really inefficiency is what crowds out, even the opportunity. Because then once kids have the time, they have to actually use it productively. Because if they're watching, YouTube or whatever, then it's really all a waste. Hey, Sam, I want to thank you for your call. I do agree about the multiple intelligences thing. I think, we all have a little bit of multiple intelligences on all fronts. And I think if we're more creative, no matter whether we're emotionally intelligent or analytically intelligent, it's easier to get, a full manifestation of that. Thanks again for the call, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. And welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. And check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today I've been talking about how to foster and cultivate creativity in your children's lives and how we can give them that skill that's going to help them in almost every facet of their lives. It's going to help them in their social lives, in their work lives. It's going to help them in their battles, in their overcoming obstacles. And so in this segment, I want to talk a little bit more specifically about how you can tactically encourage your children to think, you know, in these creative, you know, manners, and how you can unlock the inner artist within your children. Now, first of all, children, and we got, you know, kind of talking about this in the last segment, they need freedom. They need freedom. If your child doesn't have a free moment, if they are in school all week, if they are scheduled and organized activities all day, and if they have, you know, homework that truncates their evenings, they are going to be hard-pressed to, you know, dabble in any craft, or hard-pressed to have any time to think, to daydream, to envision something else. And so this, first and foremost, you need to provide your children with freedom. Maybe you need to say no to, you know, soccer once it gets to 4 days a week or 5 days a week. Maybe you need to say no to some of these extracurricular activities that might be extracurricular activities. You know, I know it's hard to do. I'm of the mind, actually, that the extracurricular activities are more important than school. And this is one of the arguments I use when I try to convince people to homeschool. I say, hey, listen, you drop out of school, you have time. Your kids will have time to play the piano. They'll have time for that pottery class, and they'll have time for theater and all these other things that I think are much more productive. But we have a caller on the line. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Hi. Well, I was listening over, and I'm personally actually half French and half American, and I was wondering how that kind of multicultural environment could help foster that whole creative aspect you were talking about, because I think that really helped me growing up.
Oh, you're talking about travel?
Not necessarily, just having different cultures, or having maybe, I guess it comes hand in hand with freedom and not necessarily being reined
in. Yeah, I have some thoughts on this. Let me let them out. You know, I was in London last year with my family. We lived overseas, and there was a lot of America bashing over there. And I tried to tell these people, hey, you know, we're basically a British country. Like, they didn't understand that we were all Europeans over here, and that there really is no Americans. It's almost like there are no native New Yorkers. I mean, there are a few, but everyone's from somewhere else. And you see this, I don't say it's a cliche, but this mantra trotted out a lot. It says diversity is what makes us great. And I have a slightly different take on that. And diversity became fashionable, I don't know, about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I think we have a lot of freedom in America. And because we have freedom, we attract a lot of ambitious people. They're so-called hypomanic people, people with ants in their pants. It doesn't matter where they're coming from, Asia, Latin America, or Europe, or wherever. It takes some gumption to come to America. But because of the opportunity here and the freedom here, we attract people from all over. And it's actually a certain type of people. But we attract people, and therefore we're diverse. In other words, diversity isn't what makes us great. It's freedom which makes us great, and that attracts all sorts of other people. And that's why, to me, freedom is the most important thing in life, for individuals, for families, for, you know, in towns and states, you know, even on wider levels. So that's kind of where I stand on the link between, you know, diversity and freedom. So, Matt, do you consider yourself creative?
Honestly, it's some question I ask myself a lot. I feel like as a kid, as a teenager, that's something I was a pretty creative person. Nowadays, I feel like I kind of lack that motivation.
So what are you doing in your free time that's instead of painting and sculpting and
I used to read a lot. I've been doing that a lot less these days. It's coming back from work and either TV or hanging out with friends, a lot more social or just, very basic internet TV stuff.
Right, decompressing, and I feel you. And maybe you need to create more free time by changing your job. And let me elaborate on that, because people like Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos, and I was listening to Mark Cuban last night. You know who he is? He's that billionaire basketball owner. They do not believe that they work. In other words, they like what they do so much, they don't call it work, and therefore they don't need to decompress from it. So maybe if you had a job that you were more interested in, maybe it was more entrepreneurial, maybe it was more of your own business, maybe in your free time you wouldn't need to decompress from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Thanks.
I mean, it's not an easy answer. School puts us, school takes all our time when we're young. And it puts us down this credential path. I mean, now we're getting into my ultimate homeschooling arguments. It puts us in down this credential path where we go into a job that we don't love, but we're kind of pushed into it because we have bills to pay, because we don't see the total potential that we have within us. And next thing you know, we're doing a job we don't like, and we come home, and people, they decompress in different ways, and none of them real healthy. It's either eat a lot, they drink a lot, or they veg out in front of the TV. And that TV for me, it wasted, I would say the first 30 years of my life were wasted with television, and I'll never get that time back. So I would encourage you to just think more holistically about what you can do. And if you do, just dip a toe in the water. If you do do something, hey, check out those adult coloring books that I was talking about earlier. I just ordered one myself, and I'll use my daughter's color pencils, and I'll just see what happens. But I think you might be like me. You might gladly discover that you have a well of creativity within you that's just been trapped for a long time. And once it gets out, it develops its own momentum. Hey, Matt, thanks for the call, and think about what I said, will you?
I will. Thanks so much.
Take care, Matt. Yeah, I think that, if you were to go down the street and ask people who's creative, and almost nobody would consider themselves creative. I mean, really, you'd have to go into the trendiest parts of Brooklyn or whatever city you live in to find people who really were proud of their creative capacities, or really self-confident in them anyway. Now, I talked, before Matt's call, I mentioned that we do need freedom, and even with him, I got into some of the tactics on how you can create more freedom for yourself and for your children. Of course, homeschooling is the ultimate way to claw back free time. But you need to provide freedom for your children, whether they're in school or not, just so that they have time to learn how to, sew and cook and juggle, and how they have time to daydream. But besides freedom, you also need to give them some of the tools. You might need to sign them up. You might need to buy that piano for $400. We have an electronic keyboard. It costs $400. Everybody says you need a piano, and they cost thousands. And we said, we're going to go to the low cost option. But you might need to buy that. You might need to go in your pocket for that. You might need to sign up for art classes. You might need to, kind of, let's say, get that creative mom in your group, or your creative sister or brother, to spend time with your kids and do some woodworking or do some knitting or whatever it is. You're going to have to facilitate this for your kids, because it's not going to happen in school. It's probably not going to happen organically. And it's if it when your kids have free time, there's all these other temptations. There's the video games, there's the TV, there's the kids hanging out on the corner, and then there's the need to decompress from whatever nonsense we force these kids to do all day. So there's a lot of competition out there for your kids' attention, and that's why we have to be proactive and intentional about creating an environment and an example for them to follow. And there are just so many ways you can do this. I don't have time to get into in this segment, but I just again, I want to encourage you, you know, to be proactive and not sit back and understand that this is an important skill that your kids need. You know, it's probably more important than math, and I tell you that as a math teacher. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'll be taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today's show, it's been all about the importance of creating creative children and fostering their imagination and giving them an outlet for the inner artist that's locked within all of them. And this is our duty as parents to unlock their full potential. And I submit that in the creative sphere, we have to focus our attention because it's incredibly important and has long-term ramifications, not just for their intellectual growth, but for their job and for their social, you know, their social socialization skills. You know, Steve Jobs is probably considered, you know, one of the most creative and inventive minds of all time. And he said that, you know, creativity is just connecting things. He said, when you ask creative people how they did something, they feel guilty because they didn't really do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them. And that's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and synthesize new things. And I've seen this definition several times online and in books. They say that creativity is really just connecting, you know, one disparate field or seemingly disparate fields. Like, for example, I recently applied something I have learned or known cold about math and how to raise math geniuses to my golf swing. You know, I grabbed from one area that I was successful in, and I tried to apply it, and I think with some success, in another area where I wasn't so successful. And that's really the essence of creativity. And, you know, this is why our kids need to be incredibly well-rounded, because the child who just knows one subject or just does one extracurricular activity is not going to be armed with as much, you know, or as broad of a knowledge base from which they can make these connections. So we need freedom, and we need to, you know, we don't need to specialize. I mean, our kids will ultimately specialize in something, but that specialization will be even more powerful if they have, you know, broader exposure to many other fields that they can pull into, you know, their mastery of their one preferred field. Now, I talked earlier about how kids need freedom and they need tools. And, you know, you need to facilitate all this. You need to facilitate the freedom. You need to buy the tools. You need to research the tools and provide them for them. And the tools for creativity have never, ever been cheaper. I mean, you can turn on your phone and you can broadcast to the entire globe. There are, you know, graphic softwares and video making software that are free online. The tools are all out there. I think that makes it even more imperative that we give our children free time to use these tools, because guess what? They're going to be competing with kids who have access to these tools and are using them and are not being educated on a 1950s model based on handwriting and obedience and multiple choice bubbles. And, you know, with my own kids, you know, I invest $50 a month, and I use the word invest intentionally. I invest $50 a month, $600 a year in the Adobe Creative Cloud so that my son can have an outlet for his video making, his web design, his Photoshop, and all these other things. And, you know, I don't consider that an expense. That's an investment. And for my daughter, who loves to sing and loves to write stories, not only does she have piano lessons and all sorts of activities, but recently we have hired a singing and a composition teacher for her. And we're continually looking for ways that we can foster creativity in these kids. And neither my wife nor I, well, I've come to see my creativity late in life. My wife would never consider herself creative either. And so non-creative parents can have kids who are into dance and art and have all this multi-dimensional intellectual capacity, but you just have to facilitate it. And I talked about how my daughter, we just got her a singing teacher. And the singing teacher is just like the piano teacher. They're through Skype. Their teachers are overseas, and they are much cheaper overseas. And I will tell you that it was very creative of me to seek out and experiment with online Skype teachers. And I tell people how great it is and how much cheaper it is. I mean, our piano teacher might be a third of the cost as a local teacher here in New York City. And I try to convince people to try it out, and they have very few of them have actually wanted to try it out. I mean, the commitment is like $20 or $30 or $40, and they won't even invest that $20 or $30 or $40 in trying something out. Just today, I had a math student contact me for, they want help with calculus, and I said, today I have to do Skype with you. And they say, oh, I don't want to do Skype, and it's just closed-mindedness to the nth. It's costing that child in life, that mindset, and it will continue to cost them. Now, why do we want to create creative kids, or why do we want to raise creative kids? Again, just to rehash, we want them to be able to tackle life's problems, inevitable problems, with a variety of solutions, with an open mind, and with a willingness to experiment. We want our kids to have that superpower. But ultimately, we're not producing paintings. We're not producing birdhouses. We're producing something much more important than that. And what we're doing when we foster creativity in our children is we're teaching them to produce themselves. They're not trying to find themselves. That's a cliche out there. I need time to go find myself. No, you need to do the work. In this case, the parents need to do the work so that the kids can produce themselves. That's the ultimate creative act and the ultimate, way to fulfillment, as far as I'm concerned. When you can look back on your life and say, I did this, or I envisioned this, I set out for it, and I made it happen, that is just, all empowering. And, I talk to parents all the time in my quest to convince them to pull their kids out of the school system and homeschool. And the obstacle that I'm up against in trying to sell them on this better life and better future for their kids is the parents say, I can't homeschool, or I can't figure out the money, or I can't teach. It's always, I can't, I can't, I can't. And there's this unbelievable obstacle trying to get grown adults to try something different, to step out of their comfort zone, and really to see that they have, buried within them a lot more capacities, a lot more powers than they ever would have imagined. I hope you enjoyed today's show on cultivating creativity. I'm Dan Lozonis, and I'll catch you next week.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.